Of course, as we live through these unique days that we're going through, we're practicing what they're calling social distancing. And though we're doing that here, I want you to know that we can still draw closer to God. And the closer we get to Him, I believe the more like Him we will become. Today, I'm starting a new series for the next several weeks. In fact, my son, Addison, helped me with the title. I was kind of sharing with him some of my thoughts, and he said, "Dad, you need to call the series, Have a Jesus-Filled Life." And I want you to hear that, maybe like you've never heard it before. I know I use it at the end of services, but I want you to hear it fresh. Have a Jesus-Filled Life. As I said, I was going over it with some of the thoughts, and he said, use that, so I'm going to use it. But my son also wants me to write a devotional book called Have a Jesus-Filled Day, another one called Have a Jesus-Filled Life, another one called Have a Jesus-Filled Marriage. But the book I'm looking for is Have a Jesus-Filled Teenager. Anybody there? Now, I said that to my son, and it shocked him that I would say that, but I have to let you know I'm just jesting. In fact, I'm actually blessed to have all of my children serving the Lord. And I pray for your families and for your children that they would have Jesus-filled homes. I want them all following the Lord. In fact, let me just pray for you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us eternal life. You've given us grace. But Lord, I pray that you would give us Jesus-filled homes. Lord, that if children have drifted away from you, that you would draw them back. Jesus, we are asking today and over these next few weeks that you would give us Jesus-filled lives. Lord, we want to live our life for you. Help us to grow, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Of course, my overriding title is Have a Jesus-Filled Life, but my subtitle, and I have a subtitle for each week, but today is Be Positive. Be positive in your thinking, and be positive in what God's Word says about you. Philippians 4, verse 8 tells us this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I would say all of those things would move us from negative thinking to positive thinking. How many of you agree with that? And though in the world today, there's almost an epidemic of negativity. If you watch the news very much, you know that they tend to chase the negative angle versus the positive angle. And that is the way of the world, but not so for the people of God. Our thinking is supposed to be different. In fact, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about several topics I believe are very important, but they're all built on positive biblical qualities that will help us have this Jesus-filled life. But to do that, I want us to start today with be positive. In our world, there are, of course, some people who are just naturally optimistic. And there's others who are naturally pessimistic. Someone with a positive outlook on life will read the passage in Psalm 23:5, where it says, "My cup overflows." And they will say, "The Lord is blessing me." But a person who has a negative spin on life might read that same verse and think, "My cup overflows," then there's going to be a mess in my house today. You don't really have to go very far to find people who are critical. In fact, please don't look at anybody else in the room with you. But there's just some people who kind of look for a reason to be negative. In fact, it can happen in our own self-talk. How many of you talk to yourselves? And by the way, we all do it. We say things like, "Why did you do that?" And we're talking to ourselves. But we have other things like, I don't have what it takes, or life is so hard. And there's probably young people out there thinking, my life is a mess. Things are terrible. I can't stand where I'm at right now. And if you keep hearing those things over and over, I'm telling you, you can talk yourself into having a bad life. Some people's negative talk is about economy, the school systems, or the government, or maybe is it about people that they cannot trust. And just to let you know, the reality is this. There are a lot of things that are wrong in the world today. I would agree with that. But because we are the people of God, we need to see what God is doing in the midst of it all. Joseph in the Old Testament, who was thrown into a pit by his brothers and then sold into slavery and then accused of adultery and then thrown in prison and then forgotten by somebody that he was in prison. And by the way, Joseph was not deserving of any of that, yet his life looked like a mess. But I want you to hear his outlook in Genesis 50, verse 20. When he faces his brothers some about 30 years later, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. It all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." That's a positive outlook. That is seeing what God sees. Let me read to you Proverbs 11:27. It says, "If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you." It says, if you search for good, what happens? You'll find favor. But if you search for evil, what happens then? It will find you. You want to find the negative? You want to be miserable? You want to search for it? You won't just find it. It will find you. Colossians 3 verse 2 though tells us this. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So this morning I want to give you six things to set your mind on. And I believe these things will help us to have a positive mindset, and they all come from Romans chapter 8. Actually, if you read chapter 8, there's more than six positive statements in this chapter. In fact, you can go read the whole chapter and immerse yourself in it. But this morning, I'm going to focus on six things that we need to know, which I think is more than enough to get you excited about thinking positively and practicing these things in your thinking. Now understand, I'm only looking at one chapter in the entire Bible, and yet there's chapter after chapter, book after book that we can look at that would give us some positive things to think about. But I'm looking at Romans 8 today, and let me start there. The first thing that we need to be positive about is this. Number one, my sins are really forgiven. Listen to Romans 8, 1 and 2. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Church, for those of you who have put your faith in Jesus, I want you to know that you have been made new in Christ. Your sins are really forgiven. And God does not condemn you for your past life. Why? Because you belong to Him. I mean, how often do we think about what Jesus has really done for us? I don't know about you, but I have been forgiven of a lot. And now, because my sins do not dictate my future, I can have a positive, optimistic, hopeful future with God. Why? Because the power of sin that leads to death was dealt with at the cross by Jesus. And I am looking for the goodness of my Lord and Savior. And guess what? I have found favor with God because I belong to Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood for me, the one who rose from the dead, and the one who is coming back for me. Church, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Can you say this with me? Say this: my sins are really forgiven. That is a true positive statement. A second reason I can be positive today is this: my mind is filled with the peace of God. Listen to Romans 8, verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For those who have been born into the family of God, you no longer have to be dominated by your fleshly, sinful nature anymore. Your mind can be renewed, transformed by the washing of the water of God's Word. You see, as God's Word renews your mind, you stop thinking about negative, earthly, sinful things. And instead, you get this earthly perspective, or eternal perspective, I should say, based on God's truth, based on God's Word. And when we're not fearful or worried, and we take things to God in prayer like we should, this is what Philippians 4, 7 tells us. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? As we live in Christ, God gives us a peace in the middle of our struggles and trials. In fact, it's a supernatural peace that goes beyond any of our human ability to understand it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been in the middle of an awful situation and people asked you, why are you so calm? How are you getting through it? And you tell him, well, my mind is at peace because God is in control. And of course, they're kind of like, how can that be? It's because God gives you a peace that is beyond their understanding. It's beyond my understanding. But it's a real peace that comes from God, and it protects our minds. In the midst of this stay-at-home order, as a pastor, I can get all concerned and ask questions. Are people going to come back to church? Are people going to be faithful in their giving? Are people going to find another church that they like better? That's negative thinking. But I'm living in peace. Listen, I can tell you my mind is filled with the peace of God. Why? Because the church belongs to God. And all I'm supposed to do is steward what he gives me to oversee. And in all the years that have passed since Jesus has risen from the grave, I want you to know God has always taken good care of his church and his people. God is in control, so therefore, I can be at peace. Everybody, say that with me this morning. My mind is filled with the peace of God. A third reason we can be positive is this: my future victory is greater than my present pain. In verse 18, hear what Paul says, Romans 8, 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Some of you might think, well, that's easy for Paul to say. And if you think that, you probably have no idea what the Apostle Paul went through. And I know that we all go through tough stuff, but Paul went through some unbelievable struggles. He was flogged and beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead. Think about it. At least they thought he was dead because he looked like he was dead. He was snake bitten, tortured over and over, all because of his relationship with Jesus. And Paul says this, Romans 8, 18 again. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you may have experienced in life. And I'm not going to tell you that what you've been through was not difficult. But what I can tell you is this. Whatever it is, there is no comparison to the glory that we will receive on the other side. James 1 verse 2 says it this way, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Church, let's persevere. Let's just keep going and keep a positive outlook on life in Jesus. That's why we can say, my future victory is greater than my present pain. A fourth reason we can live positive is this. Number four, God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. Listen, I am positive that when I'm weak, God's Spirit helps me stay strong. Listen to Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Church, whenever we get down, the Holy Spirit will pick us up. Whenever we're hurting, the Holy Spirit will be our comforter. When we feel alone, the Holy Spirit is our friend. When we're weak, the Holy Spirit is strong through us. Because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. And He can pray the heart of God through us. Even when we're groaning, the Spirit of God can work through that. The Holy Spirit can pray through us and help us when we are weak. That's why I can be positive in my thinking, because I know that I am never, ever alone. And that God's Spirit is within me. And when I'm weak, I get to know God in a more intimate way because the strength of the Holy Spirit begins to carry me. So would you say in faith this statement, God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. Amen. Number five would be this statement. My God is working everything in my life for good. Listen to Romans 8:28. And we know, did you hear that? And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. We know that God causes what? I mean, what does God cause to work together? Everything. In fact, the Greek word is pos, simply meaning all or everything. And if you're unsure of what all means, that means everything, all things. It means the good things, the bad things, the ordinary things, the things that you're glad about, and the things that you wish would have never happened. And even the things that you might be going through right now, everything, God is working in that thing. Church, those who love God and desire the purpose of God to be fulfilled in their life, God is working those things for good. I believe there's not a thing that will happen in your life that the goodness of God will not transform it somehow into something that will eventually bring about the glory of God in your life. Maybe some of you can look back in your life and you see that principle at work. Years ago when you thought, boy, this is the worst thing ever. But today you look back and you can see the faithfulness of God, that He was working in it and brought good from it. Church, even when you don't see Him working, He's working. Even when you don't feel Him working, He's working. That's what, as we sing that song that has those declarations, He is working out all things for His glory and for His good. That's what he did in Joseph's life. Joseph saw it and knew that God intended all the junk that had happened in his life. It was for good. So church, we just need to trust God. And our faith can say, I can trust God because he knows the end from the beginning. And by the way, long before tomorrow will ever begin, I want you to know God has a plan to work everything out step by step for your good. So would you say this with me? My God is working everything in my life for good. And the sixth one, the last one. The reason I can be positive in life is because this. Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. Church, I don't know about you, but just the thought that Jesus is praying for me is so encouraging. Listen to Romans 8:34. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. He is interceding for us. You may ask, well, what does it mean really to intercede or to plead for us? It just basically means he's praying for us. Jesus is in deep prayer for us right now. And he's at the right hand of the Father. How many like the idea of having others pray for you? You just love to hear that somebody is praying for you. I know that I'm personally touched when people tell me I'm praying for you. I have a dear pastor friend who sends me a text about every 3 or 4 days, and he tells me he's praying for me. It encourages me. It comforts me because I'm being lifted before the Heavenly Father. And if you're like me and love it when others are praying for you, then I've got some incredible news for you. It's not just somebody praying for you, but the Lord Jesus himself is sitting at the right hand of God. And he has the ear of the Father. And Jesus knows exactly where you are and what you're going through, and he's praying for you. He knows the pain, the sorrow, the heartache. He even knows the joys. And it's Jesus who is interceding and pleading and praying for you. Church, that should encourage our hearts. So in faith, would you say this with me this morning? Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. Church, there is a multitude of other things in this passage and throughout the entire Bible that can speak to our lives and help us look at life with a positive outlook. We need to be people who are positive. Positive about who God is and what God can do. Think about this. What if you took these 6 statements I gave you today and worked them into your life this week? Monday, think about, my sins are really forgiven. And then on Tuesday, think about, my mind is filled with the peace of God. And then on Wednesday, why not think about, my future victory is greater than my present pain. Thursday, God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. And on Friday, my God is working everything in my life for good. And then on Saturday, Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. Or just maybe you need all 6 every day. Church, what if we really understood the positive impact of knowing and believing these things and then living with these thoughts every minute of every day? First, I want you to know you would have a Jesus-filled day. And then if you did it day after day, you could have a Jesus-filled life. Church, I live with a positive outlook, not because of what I feel, not because of what I see. I am positive in my thinking because of what God says in his word. I am positive that my sins are really forgiven. I am positive my mind is filled with the peace of God. I am positive my future victory is greater than my present pain. I am positive God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. I am positive my God is working everything in my life for good. I am positive that Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. In fact, I'm positive that God's word is going to speak to somebody today. It tells me in Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's pretty positive about what his word can and will do. Listen, when everybody else is saying, "My world is falling apart," we as the people of God need to take a step back and say, "Yeah, there's a lot of bad things in the world, but I'm not going to dwell on the negative because my God has good things for me to focus on." So I say, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If you've been a negative person throughout your life, I'm going to be praying for you over the next weeks because I want you to experience a Jesus-filled life. I want you to know the goodness and the fullness of God and begin to let his word work in your life. In fact, let me pray for all of us today. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would be planted in our hearts today. I pray that it would bring about eternal change within us. God, help us to be positive people, positive because of who you are and what your word says. And may your work be accomplished according to your word. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to end with some amazing news today. In fact, it was my very first point when I said, my sins are really forgiven. Today, you can ask Jesus to be Lord of your life and have your sins forgiven. You see, God sent his only son, Jesus, who was without sin, to become sin on the cross for us. Jesus died for us, but then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Why? So that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus would be saved. I'm positive about this because God tells us in his word in Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's good news. You can be made right with God because of his grace. And if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you pray this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins and make me brand new. I believe that you died for me and I believe you rose again. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. In fact, I am positive that I belong to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for making that decision to follow Jesus. Listen, live life. Be positive because we're going to live for this Jesus-filled life. I want us to go back. In fact, it's going to fade back into the worship that we heard a little bit earlier. And just that last song and that last bridge of that last song, I want you to hear those words again, and I want you to sing it that says, I will build my life upon your love. It is a sure foundation. Are you positive that his foundation is sure? I am. And then I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. So as you lift that before the Lord, just surrender your heart today and continue to live to have a Jesus-filled life.
Well, this time, just sing, I will build. Oh, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Oh, I will not be shaken.